and the warlord placed the two-eared cup in his hands while stalwart Megapenthes carried in the glittering silver bowl and set it down before him. Helen, her cheeks flushed with beauty, moved beside him, holding the robe in her arms, and offered warmly, "Here, dear boy, I too have a gift to give you, a keepsake of Helen. I wove it with my hands for your own bride to wear when the blissful day of marriage dawns. Until then, let it rest in your mother's room, and may you return in joy, my parting wish, to your own grand house, your native land at last." With that she laid the robe in his arms, and he received it gladly. Prince Pisistratus, taking the gifts, stowed them deep in the chariot cradle, viewed them all with wonder. The red-haired warlord led them back to his house, and the guests took seats on low and high-backed chairs. A maid brought water soon in a graceful golden pitcher, and over a silver basin tipped it out so they might rinse their hands, then pulled a gleaming table to their side. A staid housekeeper brought on bread to serve them, appetizers aplenty too, lavish with her bounty. Ready Eteonius carved and passed the meat, the son of illustrious Menelaus poured their wine. They reached out for the good things that lay at hand, and once they'd put aside desire for food and drink, Prince Telemachus and the gallant son of Nestor yoked their team, mounted the blazoned car, and drove through the gates and echoing colonnade. The red-haired King Menelaus followed both boys out, his right hand holding a golden cup of honeyed wine, so the two might pour libations forth at parting. Just in front of the straining team he strode, lifting his cup and pledging both his guests, "Farewell, my princes! Give my warm greetings to Nestor, the great commander! Always kind to me as a father, long ago when we young men of Achaea fought at Troy." And tactful Telemachus replied at once, "Surely, my royal host, we'll tell him all, as soon as we reach old Nestor, all you say. I wish I were just as sure I'd find Odysseus waiting there at home when I reach Ithaca. I'd tell him I come from you, treated with so much kindness at your hands, loaded down with all these priceless gifts." At his last words, a bird flew past on the right. An eagle, clutching a huge white goose in its talons, plucked from the household yards, and all rushed after, shouting, men and women, and swooping toward the chariot. Now the bird veered off to the right again, before the horses. All looked up, overjoyed, people's spirits lifted. Nestor's son Pisistratus spoke out first, "Look there! King Menelaus, captain of armies, what did the god send down that sign for you? Or the two of us?" The warlord fell to thinking how to read the omen rightly, how to reply. But long-robed Helen stepped in well before him. "Listen to me, and I will be your prophet. Sure as the gods have flashed it in my mind, and it will come to pass, I know it will." Just as the eagle swooped down from the crags where it was born and bred, just as it snatched that goose fattened up for the kill inside the house, so, after many trials and roving long and hard, Odysseus will descend on his house and take revenge, unless he's home already, sowing seeds of ruin for that whole crowd of suitors. "Oh, if only," pensive Telemachus burst out in thanks to Helen, "Zeus, the thundering lord of Hera, makes it so. Even at home I'll pray to you as a deathless goddess." He cracked the lash, and the horses broke quickly, careering through the city out into open country, shaking the yoke across their shoulders all day long. The sun sank, and the roads of the world grew dark as they reached Phera, pulling up to Diocles' halls, the son of Autilicus, son of the Alpheus River. He gave them a royal welcome. There they slept the night. When young Dawn with her rose-red fingers shone once more, they yoked their pair again, mounted the blazoned car, and out through the gates and echoing colonnade they whipped the team to a run, and on they flew, holding nothing back, approaching Pylos soon, the craggy citadel. That was when Telemachus turned to Pisistratus, saying, "Son of Nestor, won't you do as I ask you? See it through. We're friends for all our days now, so we claim, thanks to our father's friendship. We're the same age as well, and this tour of ours has made us more like brothers. Prince, don't drive me past my vessel, drop me there. Your father's old, in love with his hospitality. I fear he'll hold me, chafing in